All of the Vrindavan Vasis were in great transcendental ecstasy. Then Madhu Mangal, who was also known as Batu, he declared that, "Krishna, this hill is being held up by my brahminical powers. Why should you trouble yourself by standing there with your arm up? You take rest. I will hold it up with my stick." Yashoda Mai, she saw Krishna in this condition and her heart was breaking. "Oh, darling son, you are so impudent. You never listen to anyone's instructions. You have such uncontrolled senses. Did you not know what would happen if you offend Indra? Now, due to your mischievous behavior, Indra is disturbed and he's bringing torrents and torrents of rain. But what's breaking my heart is this, that your hand is as soft as butter. And Govardhan Hill is very, very hard, and it's extremely heavy." Then Mother Yashoda, with folded palms, began to pray to Sri Giriraj Govardhan Hill. "Oh Giriraj, oh Giriraj, please be compassionate upon me. Offer me this one boon. Please be very soft and very light, so that my child Krishna will feel no pain." Batu, hearing Yashoda Mai speaking in this way, "Oh Ma, don't speak like this. If insignificant Indra did not become angry due to Krishna's impudent words, then we would not be seeing this beautiful festival of nectar, watching Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill." Yashoda Mai could not tolerate such words. She looked at Madhu Mangal and said, "Oh, bold one, holding a load like a mountain is not something sweet. It is not nectar. Look at Krishna. His hair is all full of dust. He's perspiring. His face is pale and it's dried up like a lotus flower in the heat of the noon sun. How can a mother tolerate such hardship? My heart is breaking." Then Krishna spoke. He said, "Oh mother, there is nothing more fun for me than holding Govardhan Hill." He said, "Besides that, please understand, there's no effort at all. Govardhan is floating by his own will. He just happens to be on my finger." Yashoda Mai said, "You've been holding the hill for so long. How tired you must be. I will believe what you say if Giriraj gets off your finger and flies around in the sky on his own." Batu said, "Oh mother, Giriraj sits on the lotus hand of your son Krishna by my brahminical powers. Because I have chanted the proper mantras, Krishna feels no pain." Yashoda Mai declared, "Oh, impudent one, my heart burns and you are making jokes and laugh. Krishna does not take any proper guidance from anyone." Then Nanda Maharaj spoke to Yashoda, "Why are you scolding Madhu Mangal? Krishna needs encouragement in this difficult situation. And Madhu Mangal is encouraging him. And look at how Krishna is so pleased to hear his words." All the Brijavasis were gazing with such love at the threefold bending form of Krishna holding Sri Giriraj Govardhan. He assumed a special Giridhari Tribhanga roop. It enchanted their hearts, captured their minds. They were so overwhelmed that they forgot all various types of etiquette And they were all classes of the Brijavasis, the men, the women, the children, they were all loudly praising the beautiful form of Krishna that they were beholding with their eyes. Krishna held Giriraj in one hand, and for the pleasure of the devotees, with his right hand, he took his celebrated flute from his belt and placed it to his beautiful smiling lips and played such sweet, sweet, enchanting, melodious songs. What a beautiful sight this was. With the little finger of his left hand, he held up the hill, and with his other hand, he was playing upon his flute. The sound of his flute captivated all living entities. Madhu Mangal, he cried out to Krishna in great concern, "Do not play your flute! This is not the time to play your flute! Just see how we're all trembling in ecstasy! If Giriraj begins to tremble in ecstasy, he will fall off your finger and we will all be crushed to death. We have seen when you play your flute that mountains turn into rivers and rivers turn into stone. Rocks melt due to ecstasy." And then the gopas, when they heard Madhu Mangal speak this, they said, "Yes, Madhu Mangal, what you're saying is correct. If Giriraj melts into a river, he will be the source of all of our destruction. Let us pray. Let us pray that Govardhan remains patient as he's hearing Krishna's beautiful plea." Then some of the other cowherd boys said, "Govardhan is a very composed personality. He will be able to maintain his soberness. Let us just enjoy hearing Krishna's flute." One Brijabasi spoke to Srimati Radharani, "O Radhika, please do not move your eyebrows, because Krishna's hand will shake and Giriraj will fall." Radharani and gopis, they were exchanging words of love, sweet love, with each other. Krishna had Govardhan Hill in his left hand. He was playing his flute with his right hand, and his head was shaking back and forth in reciprocation to his friends who were telling so many nice jokes and stories to him. One Sakhi told Srimati Radharani that, "Do you see? There are tears in Krishna's eyes. His limbs are trembling and there are eruptions on every part of his body because he is looking at your beautiful smiling face." But the Brijabasis, they are thinking that the tears, the trembling, and the eruptions are due to the hard work of Krishna struggling to hold Govardhan Hill. Krishna sees Srimati Radharani, and he begins to perspire and tremble. And the gopas, when they see this trembling, they think that Krishna's tired. And they all run and start holding sticks onto the hill out of their compassion. And Srimati Radharani shyly looks on the ground and smiles. Madhu Mangal tells the older gopas that, "Why are you holding your sticks under Govardhan Hill? The only thing you're accomplishing is you're just scratching the bottom of Giriraj. Because my friend, Krishna, he is the brother of Balaram, who is the possessor of extraordinary strength. So there is nothing to fear." Krishna, he told the gopas, his friends, that, "Do not criticize the gopas." The elder They have parental affection for me. They are holding their sticks out of their love. So don't laugh at them. And besides that, you should all know that I am not the slightest bit tired. Yasoda Mai, she was in so much distress. She said to Krishna with such a gentle, motherly love, "The entire day has passed, Gopal, and you have not eaten anything. Your face is afflicted. Your belly is caved in. Even the cows are aggrieved to seeing your hunger, and they cannot even eat grass. So please, please, stop playing your flute so that I could feed you. I have brought soft cakes and yogurt and cream. Please, I'll distribute it to you, and you can take with all your friends. Please eat." This was one argument that Madhu Mangal agreed with. He said to Lord Krishna, "Ma has spoke correctly. I also feel very disturbed by hunger. Let us eat." Krishna said, "I do not even feel that a moment has passed holding up Govardhan Hill. But if it is your desire, you may feed me." So while these wonderful pastimes are taking place underneath Giriraj, shall we speak on what was happening above? Indra was tormented with anger. His fury knew no bounds, especially when he saw on top of Govardhan Hill, the birds were singing, the deers were just happily walking around. It appeared that there was no difficulty. So he started just chastising the clouds, harder, harder, destroy them, destroy them. The clouds became so ferocious. They created cyclone winds, not like the little cyclones that you see, but massive, with all of the strength of the Samvartaka clouds, they created a wind for the exclusive purpose of to knock Govardhan Hill off the tip of the little finger of Krishna's left hand. But they couldn't do it. In fact, Giriraj was very happy. There was lightning bolts crashing. There was massive ice-cold hail balls. There was pillars of rains. There was innumerable cyclones. Kavi Karnapur explains there was a storm above and there was a storm below. We have described something of the storm above. The storm below, Krishna was standing like a beautiful blue monsoon rain cloud. And his peacock feather was like the rainbow of that cloud. His dhoti was like lightning. Krishna's beauty was constant rain. And the Brijabasis were inundated by his beauty and by his love. By the mercy of Giriraj, all the Brijabasis were experiencing endless happiness. Those who were in Shantaras, they all just wanted to please Krishna. And those who were in Dasyaras, like Raktak and Patrak, they were rendering all sorts of little services, whatever service they could think of for the pleasure of Krishna. And those in Sakyaras, Subal, Sridhama, Madhu Mangal, they were just laughing and telling jokes with Krishna and embracing him. Those in Madhurya Ras, Sri Radharani and Gopis, they were exhibiting the deepest love through their glances toward Krishna. Everyone was ecstatically happy, except
those in Vatsalyaras.
Yashodamayi was so much ecstatically distressed to see Krishna in this state. She made a very, very succulent tambula. And she told Krishna that I have made this tambula for you. Please accept it. It will give you nourishment. It will give you happiness. And it will give all of us happiness. If you don't take it, what will happen to you? Please, if you don't want this tambula, just ask me what you want. I'll prepare anything for you. But please, my child, you must eat. You're starving to death. Then she turned to Subal and said, Subal, please hold his flute and put this tambula in his mouth. So Subal went up, and with one hand he took the flute from Krishna's lips, and with the other hand he stuck tambula in Krishna's mouth. And Krishna chewed it and smiled right at Mother Yashoda. And then even all those in Vatsalyaras, headed by Yashodamayi, were ecstatically blissful to be under Sri Giriraj, having the darshan of Sri Giri Vadatari. Indra, his fury was increasing at every moment. Can you imagine what an insult it was to him? That he couldn't defeat the 7-year-old little child? Just lightning bolts, hail, cyclones, wind, rain. Not a single particle of dust fell from Govardhan Hill. Not a single leaf fell from a single tree during this whole storm. And the birds and the deers and everyone else on the hill were just happily dancing around as if nothing was happening. Ultimately, the clouds were so totally exhausted. They already used powers that they never used to even to destroy universal creations. And they fell at Indra's feet, the Samvartaka clouds, and told him, we are defeated. We can do no more. They were crying. Indra became even more angry. He was blinded with anger, and he continued the storms on his own. He was shooting these thunderbolts and rains. For 7 days, this continued. For Indra, it seemed like 7 millenniums. For the Brijabasi, it seemed like 7 joy-filled hours. And Giriraj, Govardhan Hill, was radiant. He was feeling that, how fortunate, the king of Indra, Evan, the king of heaven, Indra, is performing this pleasing abhishek to me. And he was just resplendently glowing with happiness. And Giriraj was smelling the fragrance of Krishna's body and the entire Govardhan Hill was just feeling ecstasy because the tip of Krishna's little finger was touching him. Govardhan Hill appeared most beautiful. Indra was defeated. The storm ended, and the sun again became manifest within the sky. Krishna told the residents of Vrindavan that the sun is shining. The storm has come to an end. Now you may all happily return to your homes. There is no danger. The residents of Vrindavan, they never wanted to leave that place. For 7 days and 7 nights, they all were given the opportunity to gaze at Krishna. And according to their particular love and devotional mood, Krishna was fully reciprocating with each and every one of them, 24 hours a day, 7 days. Generally, the gopas would be with Krishna during the day, those in Sakyaras, and the parents and the gopis, they would be in intense separation throughout the day. And in the evening, when Krishna would meet gopis, the cows, and the gopas, they were in intense separation, just waiting for the moment for the sun to rise so they could be with Krishna again. In fact, every night, all the cows, all the calves, all the gopas, they would all dream of Krishna. So, during these 7 days, everyone was simultaneously with Krishna. It was a festival of love. But Krishna told them to go back. So on his will, they all began to return to their homes. And the cows left. When the cows saw that Krishna was still standing there, they all ran back and surrounded him. But Krishna, by his gaze of eyes, he herded them out from the hill, from under the hill. Then Lord Sri Krishna, who was celebrated eternally as Giridhari, placed Govardhan Hill back onto the ground just as he was previous to the storm. And all the Brijabasis came to congratulate Krishna. Balaram was weeping and embraced Krishna. Yasoda Mai, she began to massage and kiss his left arm. Rohini performed arti. The elder gopis gave Krishna blessings. The Brahmins gave him boons. The elder gopas embraced him and smelled his head. The gopis embraced him within their hearts. Then the gopas approached Nanda Maharaj and inquire, how is it that Krishna has done this? We cannot understand, who is your child? Although he appears as such an innocent, helpless little boy, when he was only an infant, he killed the demon Putana. And then he killed Sakatasura, Trinavarta. He knocked down the twin Arjuna trees. He killed Bakasura and Batsasura. He killed Agasura. And today, there's Giriraj, Govardhan Hill, a huge mountain. And here's little Krishna, gentle, tender-limbed, seven-year-old boy, and he lifted the hill. Who is Krishna? Is he a god? And Nanda Maharaj explained to them what Garga Muni told him during the name ceremony of Krishna. That Krishna will perform, he is as good as Narayan. He will perform wonderful activities and always give protection to Vrindavan and the Brijabasis. They were satisfied. Krishna, wanting to give his mercy to Indra, went out of his home all alone and began to walk around Govardhan Hill. Meanwhile, Indra, he realized that that little talkative seven-year-old child who utterly humiliated him in front of all the other demigods and his own family members was his worshipable Lord, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. and he began to repent. He felt so incredibly ashamed of himself. He tried to destroy Krishna and all of Krishna's family members. How do you ask forgiveness from an offense like that? So he went to his guru, Brihaspati. Brihaspati told him, when you offend the Supreme Lord, you cannot approach the Lord. Look what you have done. The only means that you can get in forgiveness is you must approach a devotee who is dear to the Lord. And when that devotee on your behalf begs forgiveness, then the Lord will forgive you. And Krishna's Gopal, he loves his cows. So approach Surabhi, the mother of cows, and ask her to appeal on your behalf. So here is the great King Indra approaching a cow with tears in his eyes and his limbs trembling, begging the cow for mercy. And Surabhi, being very compassionate, she came with Indra to a place that we'll be passing tomorrow called Surabhi Kund. There, Surabhi approached Lord Sri Krishna and said, Indra feels very bad for what he has done. He is sincerely and honestly repenting. Kindly forgive him. On the basis of Surabhi's loving words, Krishna was willing to hear Indra's prayers. This is very important. We must approach the Lord through his devotees. We have committed so many offenses against the Lord since time immemorial. Only if the great souls, those who are dear to the Lord, pray on our behalf for Krishna's mercy, will we receive that mercy. Jagai and Madhai, when they approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he responded with the Sudarshan Chakra to sever their heads. But when Nityananda Prabhu appealed on their behalf, they were forgiven. Kaliya, that wretched serpent, who actually killed all the gopas and calves, Krishna glanced and brought them back to life. Krishna was dancing on his hoods, and he was on the verge of death. It was only when his wives, Nagapatnis, who were great devotees, prayed to the Lord to kindly forgive him. He's repentant. He's sincerely begging for mercy. Please give mercy. This is the process. First of all, within our own hearts, we must be honestly and sincerely repentant for our misbehavior and for our offenses. And secondly, we must beg for the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And then when they appeal, Krishna will respond to their prayers. That is our hope. Indra wanted to please Krishna, so he decided to perform that. People call me the king of heaven, but you are the king of all kings. Let us have Abhishek to coronate you. So the greatest of the demigods came to this place where we are sitting today, called Govindakund. The pastime we are about to narrate is enacted here. Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Kartikeya, the Kumaras, they all came. Varuna, Vayu, Agni, all to participate in the Abhishekam and the coronation of Krishna as the king. So there was a throne that was made from the stones of Govardhan Hill. Krishna sat on that throne. Varuna held an umbrella. Vayu, who is the wind god, he fanned Krishna with a chamara. Chandra, the moon god, held a beautiful jeweled mirror before Krishna. Panchajanya, Krishna's conch shell, began to blow a conch shell. Sudarshan illuminated all directions. Krishna's club, Komodik, he appeared to stand guard. The personified oceans, rivers, and lakes brought all auspicious waters. Bhumi Devi, the goddess of the earth, brought a golden box filled with precious herbs. Agni brought incense. Garuda used his wings as a canopy. The Nagas used their hoods as flags. The personified mantras chanted with great, great love. Surabhi, she offered Krishna Panchagavya and unlimited quantities of pure milk for his bathing ceremony. Brahma offered Panchamrita. Airavata came with the Akash Ganga to offer his bath to Krishna. The chaste ladies of the universe, the wives of great sages, the rishis, they all attended to participate in this Abhishekam. The Apsaras danced, the Gandharvas sang. And then at the culmination, Lord Brahma personally put a crown on Krishna's head, and it was proclaimed that we now proclaim that you are Govinda. You are the Lord of the cows, the Lord of the earth, the Lord of the senses. Because this Abhishekam ceremony took place here, where Krishna was given the name Govinda, it is called Govindakund. After this very awesome ritualistic performance, the demigods departed. Meanwhile, the gopas, they just heard all of this music and kettle drums and conch shells playing, so they came running. What is happening? So there are the gopas, they saw the celestial royal paraphernalia of the Abhishek was just still here. The chamaras, the conch shells of the demigods. So the gopas started picking it up and kept Krishna on his Govardhan Hill throne. And some of the gopas were fanning Krishna, and they were laughing, and some of them were dancing for Krishna, and some of them picked up and started blowing the conch shells, and some of them picked up and started waving the incense, and there was this beautiful, beautiful jeweled arti paraphernalia that Brahma offered arti. Huh? And some of the gopas were offering arti to Krishna. But they were doing it in such a playful way. They were not seeing Krishna as king. They were just playing with Krishna as their best intimate friend. And they were laughing, and Krishna was laughing. The demigods looked down when they saw the intimacy, the purity of the love that the gopas were worshiping Krishna. They felt utterly ashamed that their love was so ritualistic, so dry, so shallow, and compared to the cowherd boys. Balaram, he heard all the gopas performing this wonderful lila. So he went and he sat right down on the throne next to Krishna. So much noise was going on. Nanda Maharaj was searching for Krishna, and he happened to come, and he saw all this royal paraphernalia of the demigods. He inquired from the gopas, "Where has this come from? Please tell me, what is happening?" Sridharma replied, "We were looking for the calves and we found all this here. So we are using it to play with Krishna." Then Maru Mangal, he said, "Nanda Maharaj, I'll tell you what I saw. You will never believe. You will never believe what I am going to tell you, but it's true. First, I saw a talking cow." A cow came up and was talking to Krishna. "Then I saw this large man who had thousands of eyes all over his body, and he was offering his prostrated obeisances at Krishna's feet. Then I saw this huge elephant with four tusks, and he was pouring water over Krishna's heads. Then I saw a man with four heads bowing down and offering prayers to Krishna. Then a man with five heads came, and he was offering prayers to Krishna. They performed an Abhishek. All of them together, they were singing and playing drums. They were worshiping your son, Gopal." Then the demigods spoke from the sky. "O Nanda Maharaj, as we coronated Krishna, the Lord of the cow and the senses, you should coronate Krishna, the King of Braja." After hearing this, the elderly gopas and gopis, they began to use the same paraphernalia to worship Krishna. Nanda Maharaj installed Krishna as King of Braj Dham, and Yasoda Mai performed the aarti ceremony. Thus concludes the narration of Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. Should we continue?
No!
We can do one of two things. We can speak some more now, or we can go for prasad and continue later. We will take vote with Haribol. Continue after prasad. Huh? Gauranga Prabhu says prasad is not ready. So his vote outweighs everyone else's. The Garga Samhita explains the origin of Govardhan Hill. In Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, Sri Sri Radha Krishna and the Braj Gopis were performing their Ras Leela. This narration is spoken by Narada Muni to King Bahulaswa. Srimati Radharani approaches Lord Sri Krishna and with folded palms speaks these words. "If you are pleased by my love, by the gopis' love, by this Ras Leela, and by the forests of Vrindavan, please fulfill the desire within my heart. Krishna responds, "My only desire is to please you." Sri Radharani speaks, "Please create a supremely pleasurable place for our pastimes in Vrindavan's forest." To fulfill Srimati Radharani's desire, Lord Krishna said, "So be it." Then he closed his eyes, went into deep meditation, he began to look deeper and deeper into his heart, searching for the essence of his love. At that time, the essence of the love from the heart of Krishna manifested in the form of a blissful seed made out of fire and water. It fell right in the circle where the Ras dance was being performed. That little seed grew into a stone, then a rock, then a hill, then a mountain. A magnificent mountain with caves, streams, trees, birds, animals, and so many wonderful facilities to enjoy. Radha, Krishna, and gopis joyfully began exploring this wonderful creation. So Govardhan Hill is the manifestation of the heart of Krishna's love. How did it come to this world? Krishna promised Lord Brahma that he would descend at the end of the Chakshusha Manvantara during Vaibhishvat Manu. So, Krishna tells Sri Radharani in Goloka, "I am going to descend to the world. It is my promise to Brahma." Sri Radharani exclaims that, "I cannot live in your separation. Then we will go together. But I will feel no happiness unless there is Govardhan Hill, the river Jamuna, and the Vrindavan forest." So Krishna arranged for them to all descend to the world to prepare for his appearance. Sri Giriraj Govardhan was born in this world just west of Bharatvarsha in a place called Samaladvip as the son of Dronachala. When he appeared within our universe, the demigods and all the personified mountains had a great celebration. That Giriraj, the king of all mountains, the manifestation of Krishna's love, the favorite playground of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world of Goloka, has descended to our universe. What a celebration that was. And he appeared within the dynasty of mountains. So the demigods were showering flowers upon Sri Giriraj. And all the mountains were celebrating ecstatically that he has appeared within their dynasty. Pulastya Muni was living in Kashi. And he came to Dronachala, the father of Govardhan, and told him that your son is the most beautiful, most auspicious of all mountains. Where I am living in Kashi, there is no mountains. I want these nice caves and these nice trees to sit within and amongst in my meditation. So he decided he wanted to take Govardhan to Kashi. Govardhan said, "I will allow you to pick me up and take me, but wherever you set me down, I will not
Muni was carrying Govardhan by his yogic powers. And just when they came to Sri Brajdham,
Govardhan understood this is the eternal home of Sri Radha and Krishna. This is my eternal home. So just at that time, he became very heavy. And Pulastya Muni, somehow or other, inconceivably, even though he was such a great Astanga yogi who could control all of his senses and organs, something very strange happened. He had this irresistible urge to respond to the calls of nature. So being a Brahmin, he placed Govardhan down, right where he is here today. And then he responded to nature's calls. He took bath, and he went to pick up Giriraj, but Giriraj would not move. So Pulastya Muni became very much angry, and he cursed that you will reduce in size this the length of one mustard seed every day. At that time, Giriraj was miles high. Very, very large mountain with big peaks. But our acharyas explain that Giriraj is Krishna himself. In the role of the greatest of all the devotees of Krishna, he is not subjected to the curse of a Muni. The actual reason our beloved predecessors give us why Giriraj is every day shrinking is because of his separation from Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. It is his ecstatic symptoms that he is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller every day. In the ecstasies of separation. Since the time Radha, Krishna, and the residents of Vrindavan have left this world. And it is said that when that day comes, that Giriraj disappears from the world, then Kali will have complete rule over the entire planet. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very important sloka that is recited by the gopis of Vrindavan in glorification of Sri Govardhan. Everyone can please repeat after me. Hantai, Hantaya Madri Abala Haridasa Varyo. Hantaya Madri Abala Haridasa Varyo. Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramoda. Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayosta Yurayat. Pani Asu Yavasakandara Kandamulai. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities, water for drinking,
very soft grass,
caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. I will read now. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Here gopis are addressing Govardhan as Haridas Bharya, the best of the servants of Lord Hari. In Srimad Bhagavatam, this word Haridas is used for Maharaj Yudhisthira, used for Uddhav, very, very great personalities. But the gopis, they address Govardhan as Haridas Bharya, the very, very best of the devotees of Lord Hari. Srila Prabhupada explains that this verse, they are praising Govardhan because they know what, because Govardhan Hill knows best how to please Krishna by pleasing his devotees, by giving pleasure to the gopas, the gopis, the cows, who are so very, very dear to Krishna. Krishna is most pleased with his service of all. The principle of das, 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 anudas is wonderfully exhibited in this prayer. There is no higher position in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead than being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of those who are dear to the Lord. Govardhan Hill is the Tilak of Braj Bhumi. He is always in ecstasy because the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, the calves, the gopas and the gopis, are always upon his heads. Vardhana means protect. Go means cow. He is Govardhan because he gives protection to Krishna's cows. And Krishna and gopis are so much overwhelmed with joy. In fact, our acharyas explain that this particular verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani. She's praising Govardhan as the greatest of all devotees because he is the servant of the servant of the servant. He is giving everything he has to please the Lord's devotees. And thus, in his service, he is feeling transcendental ecstasy. The ecstasy of Romansha, hair standing on end, in the form of the trees as well as the grass. In this verse, gopis explain that Govardhan offers very nice fresh grass for the cows. Ah, how he knows how to please Krishna. And Giriraj very meticulously is offering the best, the love of his heart, through everything that appears on his body. It is not ordinary grass. This grass, which is meant for the pleasure of Krishna's cows, is the very manifestation of Govardhan's love. Therefore, it is sugandha. It is intoxicatingly fragrant, more fragrant than the sweetest of lotus flowers. It is sukamala, very soft, tender. It just feels so good when it is in the mouth of the cows. It is pushtivardhana. It invokes good health and nourishment. When the cows eat the pushtivardhana grass of Govardhan, they become happy. There is no hunger. There is no thirst. There is no fatigue. And there's no chance that any cow that eats this grass will ever fall diseased. And it is dugdha sampak. It produces the supreme, most flavorful milk. How is the grass of Govardhan watered? In the spiritual world, everything is reciprocation. Excuse me. The devotees are not only reciprocating with Krishna, but they are all reciprocating with one another. Sri Giriraj is supplying such nectaring grasses. Therefore, the cows, they water the grass with unlimited quantities of the milk of their affection and love. That is how the grass of Govardhan grows. And his ashram, his tears of ecstasy, are used in the service of the Lord and his devotees. They create lakes, rivers, streams, and waterfalls, which are nothing except the liquid prana emanating from his heart. Of these bodies of water, their touch is very cool. The taste is like nectar, sweeter than the nectar of the demigods in the heavens. The fragrance is so, so stimulating to the love of the heart, more fragrant than even the sweetest flowers in Indra's Nandana gardens in Swargaloka. Krishna, the gopas, they drink this water. They become intoxicated. They roll in the grass, they sing, they dance, they swim, they drink it again and again and again, and they play games within the waters of Govardhan. The gopis are thinking that we must perform great tapasya to embrace Krishna. But Giriraj, in the form of his waters, he is effortlessly embracing Krishna every day. Right in front of everyone. How fortunate he is. The waterfalls of Govardhan are singing sweet songs of love. And from the trees there are fruits. Govardhan offers the cowherd boys, Krishna and Balaram, mango fruit, jackfruit fruit, all sorts of seasonal fruits, all tasting sweeter than nectar. The morning dew is the perspiration of the ecstasy of Giriraj.